From KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas, it's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. It's great to be back. I want to thank everybody for their kind words and perhaps worries, and also Stephen Becker, who filled in for, was it four? It was four Fridays. Wow. Four Fridays while I was gone. And just in case anyone's curious, I was hiking on the John Muir Trail in California, which was just incredible. And it was a whole lot of fun, something I planned for a long time, but it is great to be back here at KERA. It's great to be back in North Texas. It's great to be back with you, starting off your weekend, sort of, for the Friday show. And you can call us at 800-933-5372. You can email us anything at kera.org, and you can send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. So to start off today, we had a question from Saifimo in Washington, D.C. And Saifimo says, I'm from South Africa, moved to the United States more than 3 years ago. And among the many things, Saifimo writes, that puzzles me about Americans is their tendency to prefer automatic cars. Why is it that most Americans drive automatic vehicles while most of the rest of the world drives manual transmission vehicles? 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Bruce emailed from McKinney. Says, where can I recycle my Styrofoam Dunkin' Donuts coffee cups? I'm assuming they're coffee cups. Does anybody know where to recycle Styrofoam in McKinney? Richard in the DFW area is looking for a reputable watchmaker who can restore, Richard says, my 1910 Elgin watch to like-new condition, i.e. completely disassemble and repair or replace each piece. So there's that question out there. You can email us your answer, anything at kera.org. You can call us, 800-933-5372. You can tweet me, at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. And that's what Michael did. Wondering, is there a tennis court for public use in Waxahachie? Does anybody know if there's a place that you can, that the public can go to play tennis in Waxahachie? Selena sent me a tweet just a couple of minutes ago, wondering, what does the red or orange tag mean on a car that's been left on the side of the road? I think it's a, hey, you better move this car or we're going to tow it away sticker. And if I remember correctly, years ago, I was watching a friend's house while he was on vacation. His car was parked in the street, and he got one of those. So I had to call and say, no, it's not been abandoned. But somebody will know the details and maybe what the rules are. 800-933-5372 is a telephone number. Email address, anything at kera.org. Tweet me, at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Did I already say it's great to be back? It's great to be back. Let's talk first today to Kristen calling from Sherman. Hello, Kristen.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey there.
I'm calling to find out if anyone knows of any Hindu meetup groups or worship groups that meet in the Sherman or Texoma area.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we get some suggestions for you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. It's where Mark emailed us, wondering, is there a local service or library which offers use of a 3D printer or output of items designed to be printed in 3D? Does anybody know if there's a local service? There is a shop. Is it called SculptCAD? I think it's SculptCAD. In the Deep Ellum area that does 3D printing. I'll look that up in a second and confirm that. But somebody else will have a suggestion on that. It is becoming almost approachable, I think, for the consumer to print stuff in 3D. So we'll see if somebody has a suggestion for you. Up next on the phone at 800-933-5372 is Chip in Waco. Hello, Chip.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Doing well.
Right. The guy that called in about the why everybody in America drives automatics versus manual transmission.
Yeah.
The automatic transmission will get better fuel economy because the car is shifting when it needs to versus when you want it to. And it's also, you're able to get more gears Like right now, I think Chrysler's come out with like a 9-speed transmission. And if you tried to do that with a manual transmission, that transmission would get substantially larger and larger until you couldn't put it in the car anymore. But essentially, the main reason behind it is economy. And then the second reason is because, as with most things, Americans tend to be kind of lazy and they don't want to be, you're stuck in traffic and you're having to use a clutch or whatever.
Right. It's when it debuted in the 50s, it was the easier. It was originally like a luxury thing. I think it was the Corvette that came out with the first automatic transmission. I'm sure someone will correct me immediately if I'm wrong about that. But it was the easier choice. It's easier to learn to do, and it's easier to drive in traffic. I don't know about you, but I had to. My father forced me to learn on a manual transmission car.
Well, actually, I learned on a manual transmission. And when I went to take my driving test, the instructor said he'd never seen anybody drive as well as I did, with the manual transmission. I didn't tell him I'd been sneaking the car out at night driving around. But I drive a semi for a living. So, I spend most of my time with a manual transmission. So it makes no difference to me. But
right.
the primary reason behind it is for the economy.
Okay. And how many gears do you have in that semi?
I have 18.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Well, Chip, thanks for calling.
All right, enjoy the day, sir.
All right, you too. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything, kera.org. Let's see. From the Twitter, Doug says, I've always assumed it was because of traffic that Americans preferred automatics. Says, but autos have become more fuel efficient than the manuals. And he adds, also, do American drivers need any more distractions? Well, I guess if you're driving a manual, you have to pay closer attention to what you're doing, and you don't have the free hand for the for the texter. So maybe we should go back to manual transmissions. 800-933-5372, email anything at kera.org. A couple of questions that are pending from last week. Let's see. Dave says, regarding the water in water towers, where does it come from? Somebody apparently asked. And Dave says, water in the city's water towers come from a variety of places, lakes, rivers, water wells. It's run through a complex treatment system, then pumped into the towers where it waits for us to turn on the tap. Towers are used because they generate pressure from gravity, so pumps don't have to be used to get it into our houses. Dave says water used for fracking, which apparently was another question, comes from the same places our drinking water comes from. So apparently those were the two questions. But the water in the water towers, the water tower, for the most part, your water in your house is gravity fed from that water tower. We had also a question if all the Beltline roads are connected. And Tom says, you are correct. Beltline Road makes four turns near the four corners of Dallas County. It's the outer ring of the three traffic rings inside Dallas County, Loop 12, LBJ, and Beltline, which is just a few miles from the county line at any point. Tom says, since the Dallas area has grown beyond the county, each of the Beltline corners now has roads that you change to if you do not make the turn at the corner. And ironically, the inner loop used the opposite convention. The road number is consistently loop 12, but the name changes for each of the four sides of the square: Walton Walker, Ledbetter, Northwest Highway, and Tom says, I think the east leg is Buckner. I think that's correct. Great. Solved a couple of those questions. Cindy is looking for safe, low-income housing in Dallas for her grandmother, preferably something designed for seniors. Does anyone know how to find it? And Cindy says she's still driving. Cindy, you might reach out to folks at the Senior Source here in Dallas. They have been guests and sources for the show, the Think Show. But you might reach out to them, and you might we'll see if we get some suggestions for you as well. I'm sure you're not alone in looking for that for your grandmother. 800-933-5372 is the telephone number. Up next, we talk to Elizabeth in Arlington. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. I'm calling with an answer about the question where to recycle styrofoam.
Yeah.
There is only one place in the U.S. that recycles styrofoam, and it's in Corona, California.
Really?
And other than that, it's something that should never be created in the first place because it's going to outlive all of us.
So when you take, do you know if you take your styrofoam to like a city recycling facility, they then ship it there to be?
No, they don't.
They don't.
They put it in the landfill.
Okay, well.
Yeah, you have to work for an organization that cares enough to go to that added expense and labor to ship it there.
Very
yeah,
good.
It's one of the most toxic creations that that exists on our planet right now.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, you're right. Welcome.
Line open, 800-933-5372. And that's where we have Tom in Euless. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Jeff. Hey, nice talking to you.
Hey, same here.
Jeff, there's a building that just was recently built in Euless at the corner of Harwood and Bear Creek, I think. And I lived there, and there's no indication on the building about what it is or who it is, no sign. It's a one-story warehouse-looking building with no windows. Does anybody know what that is?
Well, we
somebody
just...
Somebody thinks it might be like a Google server farm or
right.
something.
Okay. And tell us the intersection again that it's near?
Yeah, Harwood Road and Bear Creek Drive.
All right. Well, we'll see if somebody knows.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for calling. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Let's see, on the vintage watch repair, someone suggests Hassan's, H-A-S-S-O-N, apostrophe S, Hassan's Jewelers in Lenox Center in Richardson. We also had a suggestion for Kevin at Time Tech. Located near Coit and LBJ in Dallas. Kevin at Time Tech does watch repair as well. Let's see. Matthew wants to know if there's a local free computer lab where you can edit video for personal use. I don't know if you can edit video at the library. I know they have computers and you can use the computers and you can print stuff out and do internet work, but I don't know if you can edit video. So you'd need, it sounds like you'd need like Final Cut or some kind of editing software. So somebody, maybe somebody will know. Nancy in Dallas says, regarding automatic transmissions, Nancy says, I think as we go more and more to devices in our cars, such as GPSs, iPhones, manual transmissions will soon become extinct. Plus, we're taught in driver's ed to drive automatics. So there you go. Maybe we'll go to the we'll just go ahead and get to the driverless car, and that will allow us to social mediaize and text with complete, you know, impunity while we're driving around. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA. The telephone number, 800-933-5372. If you can't get through there, you can send us an email, anything at kera.org. You can also send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with more of your questions and your answers on anything you ever wanted to know. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. You can email us your questions and answers at anything at kera.org or tweet me. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. From the Twitter, Lisa says the manual version of my Volkswagen gets 5 miles per gallon more than the automatic version. And yes, it's way harder to text and drive. And let's see, Doug had one more thought on this, that race cars have also moved away from the traditional H-pattern shifters and gone to sequential gearboxes with paddle shifters. I think you can get paddle shifters on your consumer level car now too, and some in some instances. Let's see, Reagan emailed us anything at KERA.org. Said there's a 3D printer for public use in Denton at the North Branch Library. Also, a few websites are out there in which you upload your design. It's printed and then shipped to you. Let's see. This is from Taylor, who says Benbrook Library has a 3D printer for public use. So try other public libraries as well. That's great information. And I did look up SculptCAD, and that is the business that's here in Dallas that does 3D printing, and I'm sure they can point you in a couple of directions as well. Mary Lou says, the only people I know, this is via email to anything at KERA.org. Mary Lou writes, the only people I know that are recycling styrofoam are the Choctaw Nation in southern Oklahoma. And she says, I save mine year-round and then take it to the Texoma Earth Day Festival, which is the April Saturday nearest to Earth Day each year, which is held in Sherman's City Park. And the Choctaw Nation uses the styrofoam in construction. And I guess that's one thing you could, that it can be used for, is for insulation purposes, because it's good at that, right? Keeps your coffee warm for 15 seconds and then, plays a part in keeping your house warm and cool for a lot longer. 800-933-5372. Up next on the phone, let's talk to Kevin in Dallas. Hey, Kevin.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well.
About elder care, my mother, who's going to be 80 in a couple of months, lives at the Juliet Fowler facility, which is over in Lakewood, right about where Abram becomes Columbia Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And they have excellent care. I can't speak highly enough about what they do. They have everything from independent living all the way up to memory care, and you can graduate as you may or may not need it. And their cost is based on your income. It's about 22% of what your monthly income is, what your rent is. There is a long waiting list. But the other thing to do would be to check on the website uplaceformom.com, which is a national service that helps people take care of the needs of their elderly parents and relatives.
Uplaceformom.com.
Right.
Very good. Kevin, thanks so much for calling.
Sure.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Up next is Janet calling from Euless. Hello, Janet.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
Good. I was calling with an answer to the gentleman from Euless about the building structure off of Bear Creek Parkway in Harwood.
Oh, yeah.
I believe, to my understanding, it's a, he was kind of correct, a Verizon Hub Center. The apartments north of that block are going to be contracted to AT&T U-verse. The apartments south of that block are going to have Verizon Fios. So it's just like a little telecommunication hub center for Verizon.
Very good. Well, hey, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Right.
Bye-bye. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Meg in Arlington has a couple of answers. For a listener looking for tennis courts in Waxahachie, they can go to tennismaps.com and find courts in their area. Meg says, I didn't find any, but they can also check with their local high school. In Arlington, Meg says, we use the Park Rec Center. Arlington Tennis Center and high school courts when available. And on the automatic versus manual transmission, Meg says, I find that many people under 30 are not taught to drive a manual transmission. And as to the fuel economy, I was under the impression that if the driver knows the proper time to shift, the fuel economy is better with a manual. Meg says, my dad was a mechanic, so I got many a transmission illustration on the whiteboard. thanks for writing, Meg. Let's see, another one. On this from Tom in Arlington, who says, Americans tend to like things done, quote, automatically. He says, think of the electric can opener. Remember the electric can opener that was on the kitchen counter? Automatic transmissions were invented here to get more family members to drive with less training, and the roads have more predictable terrain. Think interstate highways and freeways. Tom says, Europeans and others see shifting as part of the driving pleasure. And, of course, if you race cars, motorcycles, or bicycles, shifting is essential to the experience. So, Tom, thanks so much for writing. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Ed in Arlington. Hey, Ed.
Hi, Jeff. On the styrofoam recycling, I remember reading an article in the Arlington Conservation Council newsletter approximately a year ago describing a trip to, I think it was Hillsboro, with a pickup truck load full of styrofoam, packing material, peanuts and so forth, to a facility down there. So I'm pretty sure the Conservation Council archives their newsletters on their website, and if that's too much trouble, then people interested in styrofoam recycling might look, you know, on Google for a facility in the Hillsboro area, because that's what this trip talked about.
Great.
Okay, secondly, on the manual versus automatic transmission thing, I don't even know if I agree with the premise of the question. Lexus, BMW, Mercedes, Toyota, Nissan, those are all foreign-made cars. They all come or certainly have automatic transmissions available to them. To the extent that the premises are true, automatic transmissions are American technology, and so I would say that it's sufficient to say that when that stuff was invented here, it became more popular here.
Mm-hmm.
The trade-off is in the fuel economy. I have to disagree with the truck driver. Manual transmissions, when driven properly, do provide better fuel economy at the expense of a more herky-jerky ride by someone less trained to drive them. And they're also, if manual transmissions are more popular overseas, particularly in third world areas, that's because they're much easier to repair. Automatic transmission is a very complicated device relying on hydraulics, whereas a manual transmission is strictly mechanical and parts are easier to get, and it's more takes less training and less infrastructure to repair.
Well, Ed, thanks so much.
Okay.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Sandy in Dallas next. Hey, Sandy.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey there.
I drive frequently past a water tower in Addison that has some very attractive wind turbines on the top. These were just installed a couple of years ago. I seldom see any of those turbines working, and I wonder if anyone knows why they were installed, why they aren't working, and what the plans are for them for the future.
I vaguely remember, I mean, we've had this question a lot since those were installed, actually. And I vaguely remember a few months ago someone saying that they were going to uninstall them because the maintenance and repair costs were outweighing the benefit. This is just something that we heard on the show. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a news story that we reported, but I vaguely remember somebody saying this. So that's the last thing I heard about it, but maybe someone will remember, or who knows, can call and you know, definitively answer it.
Maybe someone with the city would have some idea. I wish they would get them working. They really look good.
Yeah, it's a new, it's a design that has been cropping up in places, and it's the vertical turbine,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, it's not what we would call a windmill or a traditional wind turbine with blades. The blades are vertically oriented in sort of a spiral pattern.
Almost like a pinwheel.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
We'll see if we get an answer for you, and maybe I'll remember to bring the. I think I may even printed out an answer that someone sent, and put it in the definitives folder. But since I've been off for a little while, it's a miracle I even remember how to do the show, let alone remember to bring everything in the studio with me. So we'll see if we get an answer
much.
For you.
I really enjoy your show.
Hey, thank you very much.
Bye.
Let's see. Let's get one more before we check back in the email inbox, and that's with Judy in Waxahachie. Hey, Judy.
Hello, glad to hear your show. Always enjoy it.
Oh, thank you.
I was calling about the styrofoam recycling. We have a dark coal plant here in Waxahachie, and they have a container building where you can drive in and put your clean food service as well as your molded styrofoam products to be recycled.
Very good.
On the 287 North Service Road, just north of 77.
Thank you very much.
Darko. Thank you.
Let's see. In the inbox, Linda says, Frisco Public Library has a 3D printer available for use by library cardholders. The printer costs City about $2,000. Users must bring a flash drive with a file of the object already created. They pay 10 cents per gram of filament, the plastic that the printer uses to build the object, and the printed objects can be up to 11 inches tall, 6 inches wide, and 6 inches deep. This is really, this is my opinion, folks, this is really cool that the libraries are getting into this because, wow, really cool. And it sounds like a lot of libraries are doing it. So check your, you know, check your local public library. You can, they have books there that you can borrow. Still have books. And I think they have ebooks too that you can check out online. Typically, I know the Dallas Public Library does. Let's see. Roger and Sherman emailed us at anything@kera.org he says, not exactly what the caller is looking for, and this is about looking for a Hindu group, meetup group. But Austin College, Roger says, has a Hindu Students Association. And you can find them on the Austin College website. And the contacts for that group might also know if there is a group in the larger community. So there's a lead, at least, on that. You can call us, 800-933-5372. You can email us anything@kera.org. Or you can send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington. Thomas tweeted me and says, I believe 3D printing can also be done at the Dallas Makerspace. So there you go. Mike sent a tweet wondering, Mike says, I'm about to turn 65, and is there info on the best-rated Medicare supplement plans on the internet? Does somebody know where to look for the best-rated supplement plans for Medicare on the internet? Let's see. Jonathan wants to know, how much would it cost to buy everything from any given Walmart? And he says, the whole inventory, what's it worth? And I guess if he says to buy it, what's the retail value of the contents of a Walmart store? Hey, you know, it's called anything you ever wanted to know, I guess. So if you have an answer, call us, 800-933-5372. That's where we find Bill calling from Dallas. Hello, Bill.
Hello. How are you, Jeff?
Doing well.
Hey, I've got an answer for the manual versus automatic.
Sure.
In the late 1950s and early 1960s, all the automakers developed specific automobiles for different unique markets, a.k.a. the Police Interceptor. Mm-hmm. The Plymouth Fury four-door with a 383 was the standard automobile for the DPS at the time. The automakers figured that they could, in fact, expand their marketplace by getting kiddos to drive, and kiddos found it easier to drive automatics. So what they did was to offer to schools for purchase or lease automobiles that were used in driver's education courses, which at the particular point in time were done in almost all the schools instead of separate organizations.
Right.
And you could purchase those with an additional brake pedal in the passenger front seat area so that your instructor could stop the student if he got too excited.
Right.
Included in that was the fact that all of these automobiles had automatic transmissions, a.k.a. it was easier for a novice driver, a young kid not quite 16 who's learning how to drive, to in fact drive. This spread throughout the United States.
So there you go, right?
With marketing assistance from all three of the manufacturers in Detroit. And that's why today the vast majority of Americans drive automatics.
Yeah, I mean, my driver's ed was, I was right at the edge of when, I think the kids in high school a year or two before me still took it at the school. And then I had to take, or maybe I had the choice, either at school or I could sign up for an accelerated, 4 hours a night kind of thing. And I did the outside of school thing. And they were all automatic cars, and there was the brake pedal. in the front passenger seat, and it was used liberally.
Yes, yeah.
Even when I was behind the wheel, especially when I was behind the wheel.
It was used liberally on me. My instructor, who was the high school principal, basically turned to me and said, "Wilkerson, you're a lead foot."
Well, Bill, thanks so much for calling.
You're welcome.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email, always open, anything at kera.org. And, of course, you can tweet me. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's see. This is from Debbie, who emailed us at anything at kera.org. On the senior living question, Debbie says there's a great senior community in Grand Prairie called Wright Senior Community, W-R-I-G-H-T. And Debbie says they base the rent on income, and there's not a huge waiting list. So there's that suggestion. Let's see. This is from Joan, who wants to know, is there a default speed limit for most Dallas streets? Sometimes I'll turn onto a street that's not on my normal route, and I won't know if the speed limit is 30 or 35. For example, signs are few and far between, and this seems to be true on the toll road and Central as well. Obviously, if stopped, I can't claim that I'm just following the speed of other drivers. The answer to that would be, quote, and you would follow them off a cliff. So Joan wants to know if there's a default speed limit for most Dallas streets. Well, somebody knows. 800-933-5372. And let's see. This is from Truly, who wants to know if it's true that you should take the tops off of water bottles that you want to recycle. Someone once told me that if you do not, they get thrown away at the sorting facility. So does anybody know if it's true that you should remove the caps from your water bottles before you recycle them? Give us a call, 800-933-5372. A couple of lines open there, actually, at 800-933-5372. You can email us anything at kera.org, or you can send your questions and answers via Twitter. Just tweet me at Jeff Whittington. We'll be back in about 2.5 minutes. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. You can also email us anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Mike emailed. He says, I've been hearing different sources on the news using ISIS, ISIL, and more recently IS for the group in Iraq and Syria. Why the difference, and is there any significance to the differing names? We're pretty sure that our style, which is, you know, passed down from the mothership at NPR in Washington, is ISIS. We're hearing ISIS. At least that's what Stephen and I are saying. Stephen Becker, the producer of the show, are hearing on NPR. But I have heard the different terms elsewhere. And even from some government officials on different networks. Not sure, you know, about the reason why, but typically an editor makes a decision about how a network or how an entity, a news entity, is going to report and how they're going to name, you know, they set the style for the story. And that's why typically you'll hear one broadcaster or one news media outlet, newspaper, et cetera, stick with one thing or the other. But maybe somebody can give us a little bit of a primer on, you know, what the different abbreviations mean or acronyms mean. We also got from Rocky, one area we hadn't touched on the manual transmission versus automatic transmission question. Rocky says manual transmissions generally do not fail at the same rate unless they are overpowered beyond the manufacturer's guidelines. In most cases, Rocky says the clutch burns out first, saving the transmission. So there is that. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Doug calling from Fort Worth. Hello, Doug.
Hey, Jeff. Love your show.
Hey, thank you.
I was calling about the on I-30 west of Fort Worth, about 3 or 4 miles,
west of 820, there is a new overpass. It's got to be 8 lanes wide that they're building, but there's no obvious highway that intersects there. Why are they built this?
What part of – I'm trying to remember what it's not Saginaw, is it? It's beyond 820. You said it's west of 820?
West – on I-30, west of 820.
I-30, west of 820. Okay. Well, we'll see if somebody knows what it's all about.
Great. I sure appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for calling. Let's see. Let's get one more on the transmission discussion from Miguel in Fort Worth. Hey, Miguel.
Hi. Love your show.
Thank you.
My wife is from Guatemala, and when we went to visit there, there was hardly any automatic vehicles at all. They have very little value over there. And the reason is because over there, a manual transmission has a lot easier maintenance for them.
Mm-hmm.
And also because they live in the hills over there, there's three volcanoes that surround that area. And they slow down by downshifting, and they save their brakes when they have to do any hard stopping. If you keep stopping, a lot of times tourists will have auto accidents over there because their brakes get too hot in the hills going downhill, and they lose their brakes. So they use standard transmission to slow down with their gears.
Very good. Miguel, thanks for calling.
All right.
You know, it's funny. I've discussed this a lot with folks about the whole standard. You know, we always call it a standard. Everybody's been saying manual transmission today on the show, which is actually in the initial email and the responses. Miguel said standard, and standard is the first thing that you think, the first thing that I think when I'm talking about a manual, because for so long it was standard, right? And I think you still have to pay more for an automatic transmission when you buy a new car, but the manual transmission is certainly not standard anymore, because standard, right, means what comes on most of the cars, right? I think. It's been a couple of weeks. 800-933-5372. Up next, let's talk to David in Dallas. Hello, David.
Hello there.
Hey there.
On the speed limits, there are general laws that apply to speed limit when it is not posted. You can reference the Texas Driver's Handbook, or there's probably some resources online that will give those listings for you. Normally, two-way city streets would be 30 miles per hour. Divided parkways would be 40 miles an hour and such as that.
Very good. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Let's see. Up next at 800-933-5372, let's talk to Jessica calling from Dallas. Hello, Jessica.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, I'm new to Dallas and wondering what's the best way to go about inexpensively sailing on the White Rock Lake without purchasing an actual sailboat?
Well, I know that at White Rock there are folks who will rent you kayaks, canoes, you know, paddle boards, et cetera. I don't know about sailboats. And that's a really good question.
Clubs,
right.
But I'm having a hard, they have, their websites are seem to be volunteer maintained, if you catch my meaning. So
right.
I'm having a hard time getting deep information about, you know, whether they have a little fleet they rent out and what the prices are and things like that.
Well, we'll see if somebody knows. And if we don't get an answer for you today, if we hear, you know, over the weekend or something, we'll bring it in next week for the show.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for calling. And well, hey, and welcome to North Texas.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Let's see. Up next, 800-933-5372 is Travis in Denton. Hello, Travis.
Hi. I had a answer to the, or a suggestion, to the ISIS-ISIL question about the acronym.
Yeah.
In contemporary paganism, ISIS is considered one of the goddesses that they might worship. And so there has been a movement amongst contemporary pagans to ask the media to stop calling it ISIS, because that would be the Christian equivalent of calling any terrorist group like Jesus or Mary. So that's just one factor that could influence the media.
You're saying because it's ostensibly an Islamic fundamental organization, and they resist anything that might be considered idolatry. Some organizations are avoiding ISIS for that reason.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Well, Travis, thanks for calling.
Absolutely. Right. Thank you.
Up next, 800-933-5372 is Mark in Fort Worth. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, hi. I just have a answer to that question about the overpass on West 820.
Yeah.
It's actually, they're building a housing development in between Old Weatherford Road and 20, and that's access to that housing development.
So the overpass is just, it's access off the highway, I guess, over to the housing development.
Right. It stops right there, and you just get off of 20 and go to the housing development, and it goes on over to Old Weatherford Road.
Is it really big? Like the
car? Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, it's like four lanes.
Wow.
And they got, just a little ways past that, they built a bridge that goes across the river, a creek, I guess. But you can see they're putting in roads and everything out there.
Well, I guess when you build a big housing development, you don't want just two lanes in and out of it because it.
Yeah, there was no other access to it except that two-lane blacktop road.
Yeah. Makes it tough to get to work on time.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling.
Fort Worth has incorporated that area out there, and they're starting to build quite a bit.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Let's see. I think we had another answer from Brian. Did that sound, Brian in Fort Worth, did that sound right?
Well, I didn't catch the beginning, but I thought he was referring to I-30. I drive past it every day.
Mm-hmm.
There is an overpass being built. I thought that was for going to be the on-ramp or off-ramp for the managed HOV lanes that are going to be charged a fare, like a toll.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's what he's talking about. In fact, I drove underneath it right when he asked the question. but I'm pretty sure those are going to be off and on-ramps. So if it's the ones near the park and ride, which would be east of 820, several miles, that's also east of Arlington. So I'm pretty sure that's what those are. And those are pretty big projects that are kind of like not connected to other roads yet. So.
Well, thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, right. You bet.
Let's see. We got an email from Bill in McClendon Chisholm, who says, it's my understanding that the various names for ISIS are in order to define its growing ambitions. ISIL stands for the Islamic State in the Levant, which was the original name. ISIS was the next one, Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, to simply IS, the Islamic State. The latter, Bill says, allows the, quote, caliphate to expand to include other areas without having to modify the name. And he says, I believe that IS is the current generally accepted name for the group. So there you go. Let's see. Let's get a call at 800-933-5372 from, is it Hira or Hira in Dallas?
It's Kyra.
Kyra, hey there.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
All right, I had a question. I've been seeing buildings, I believe the first one I saw was maybe in 2006. They started building the majority of them in Lancaster, close to 20 and 45.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're Walmart-sized buildings, but they're all white, most of them, and they have like 2 by 2 feet windows all the way around, and I just wanted to see if anyone knew what they were actually for, like what their purpose was.
All right, well, we'll see if we get an answer for you. Probably not today, but maybe next week's show.
All right.
Thanks for calling. Let's see. Up next is Jonathan in Terrell. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello there. Yes, I'm answering to the question regarding the lady on White Rock Sailing.
Yeah.
The two yacht clubs there are both, you can apply for them and get into them.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is right next door to them a launching ramp if you have your own boat. And if you look at the event sites on their websites themselves, you will occasionally see where they are inviting people to come around. And I know that the White Rock Boat Club does have sailing lessons that non-members can participate in at a fee.
Okay, great. So it's the two clubs of the White Rock and the Corinthian, right?
That is correct.
And so there are events where they invite people to come and just check out the events?
Yes.
Great. Jonathan, thank you.
Okay, bye.
We have some sailors listening because up next is Robert in Fort Worth with an answer on this. Hey, Robert.
Yeah, Robert, at White Rock, there are two clubs, as the gentleman said, Wednesday evenings, Saturday mornings, or Sunday mornings. There are over 180 sailboats on that lake. I guarantee that she can find a ride.
All right. Hey, thank you very much for calling.
Sure thing.
Let's see. We got an email again from Mary Lou, who agrees that bottle caps should not be put in city recycling. Mary Lou says, the Choctaw Nation also collects plastic and metal bottle caps, and she collects her caps to take to the Texoma Earth Day Festival that she mentioned before. So there is that one, too. Time for maybe a couple more calls. and sailing seems to have been a popular question. Let's talk to Logan in Dallas. Hey, Logan.
Yes, you can also go to DallasLaserFleet.org, mm-hmm. and they race out of the Corinthian Sailing Club, and they have loaner boats as part of their Wednesday night sailing program and on Saturdays in the winter and fall and spring.
So it's Dallas Racer Fleet?
Laser, L-A-S-E-R. It's a small Olympic-class sailboat.
Oh, cool, cool. Logan, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Let's see, one more on this from John in Dallas. Hey, John.
Hi. I sailed for many a year down at White Rock Lake, and I can tell you that anybody that goes to the Corinthian Club or to the White Rock Boat Club and knows how to sail and offers to crew with somebody will get a ride. There's a lot of racing going on there, and so it's very easy. And I did that at one time and have been sailing for 40-some-odd years as a result. And one additional little, and I believe this to be a true factoid, is, and at least I think it was true around 1970, 1975, is this. White Rock Lake can claim more Olympic sailors than any other inland waterway in the world, and they could up at that time. But again, I can't substantiate that, but I believe it to be a true statement.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. We appreciate the tip on getting a ride. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Okay. Bye.
Let's see. 800-933-5372 is also where we find Michael in Dallas. Hello, Michael.
Hello. On your automatic transmission, I recall my father had a 1938 Oldsmobile with an automatic transmission. And I'm
oh, wow.
Imagine they were doing them earlier with,
especially
cars and all. And on the speed limit in Dallas, the city code says 30 miles an hour for residential streets if it's not posted. I believe alleys are 20. And there's also a duty to stop before entering a street at an alley. A lot of people don't know that.
Hmm. So the stop is required without the stop sign even.
Yes, and I think that may even be in the state traffic code, but I believe that's in the city code as well.
Very good. Well, thanks so much for calling.
All right.
And we need time for one really, let's see, oh hang on. We have time for one really quick call from, well, maybe not. Well, we'll have to get to you next week. It's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know, produced by Stephen Becker, engineered by Shelley Canavy. And Fiona Norton answers the phones. And, of course, Christine McConnell edits and produces our podcast, which you can find absolutely free at kera.org/anything. And the last several shows are available there for you to download and listen. And, of course, email your questions and answers, comments and suggestions to anything@kera.org. Once again, I'm Jeff Whittington. You can also find me on Twitter. As I mentioned, my handle is @JeffWhittington on the Twitter. Thanks so much for listening this week, for writing and calling in. As I said before, it's great to be back. I want to thank once again Stephen Becker, the producer of the show, for sitting in this chair for a few weeks and fielding your questions and answers. And hope you all have a fantastic weekend. And hey, we'll talk next week.